Well, good morning. Well, let me say that our Malaysia team are on their way. Right now, they'll probably be flying at 12 o'clock, right? I believe it's at 12 that they get going. So please keep them in your prayers as they are flying across the world. They're going to go talk about Jesus. So please remember them. And if I can give you any encouragement, this 4th of July, I hope you have a good time and celebrate it. But as you're celebrating, you know, our independence, make sure to always celebrate our dependence on Jesus during that time. Always remember that. And my encouragement to you would be on that 4th of July, read over Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 through 21 with those around you, with your family members. Talk to them about what's going on with your church and the Malaysia team. They're not celebrating 4th of July here. They're out talking about Jesus. So let's join them. Let's partner with them on that day to talk about Jesus amongst ourselves and amongst our neighbors and amongst the friends that you may invite over. Let us go to God in prayer. Father, thank you for the glory and the joy of knowing your Son. Lord, we ask that you bless us today as we come to learn about your word. Help us to remember that it's all about you. Be with those who are not here today. Let them know they are loved and they are missed, and we are praying for them right now. All the trials and troubles that we may be facing, Lord, we pray that you rest our hearts. Put us at ease. Remind us that you are in control of all things, that we're not left to ourselves to figure things out. We are not alone. That when the stresses of this life come about, Lord, help us to look at you and see how much bigger you are than all of that. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for having us gather here today. We ask that you convict us, Lord, where we need to be convicted. Encourage us where we need to be encouraged. And fill us with hope, love, and peace so we can continue to live out the faith. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. We're dealing with Peter, and he is a man that has a lot of ministry experience. He was there when Jesus began the ministry, or his ministry. He was there while Jesus continued doing ministry. He was there when people thought Jesus' ministry was over, but he came back. And then he was also there when the church exploded amongst the people. And he got to see people take hold of the faith. He got to see Paul and the other apostles just go out and talk about the word of God. So Peter was a man who was quite experienced, quite weathered, has seen a lot of ministry happen, including with him being part of that ministry. And here, in 2 Peter, Peter is coming to the end of his life, and so he's kind of writing a letter of encouragement, knowing that his end is soon. And he's reminding this church of things that he finds important, things that he believes that the church needs to continue on. So let's look on what he says. You have Peter as an older man telling the church to never forget the basics. Here's someone that could talk about a lot of things, a lot of mind-blowing experiences, but the first thing that he wants to remind them is, I therefore always intend to remind you of these qualities. Referring back, he just talked about the virtues. He talked about the beauty. Essentially, summed up, he talked about the power of the gospel message in our lives. He talked about the gospel, saying, I intend to always, not sometimes, not once in a blue moon, not when I feel like it, but to always remind you of the gospel message. He had a concern that the church was being built upon the foundation of God, the message of the cross. He wanted to make sure that they never forgot them. See, the gospel message is not something that you learn and then you move on. The gospel message is not something that you say, okay, I get it. I understand that Jesus came and died and was resurrected, lived a perfect life that I could not live, and he's coming back. What else is there? You never move on from the gospel and go into deeper things. To go and learn about God, you bring the gospel with you. See, this church, he says, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. Peter understands that they already know the message, but he wants to strengthen them, encourage them to build a foundation deeper in that message. Because the deeper your, the stronger your base, the wider your base, the bigger the structure you can build. And Peter always wanted to remind them of that, even though he was an older man on his way out. He says, I want to remind you of this consistently. Why? Because he wants them to know the message, but to then grow in it practically speaking. He wants them to reflect the truth of the gospel every day in their lives, continuing to refine their thoughts, their choices, their emotions, their mindset, always remembering the gospel message. It's like the idea is almost like a snowball. You learn the gospel message and then you build upon it. And as you're learning more and more about the Word of God and you're going deeper into the Word of God, it's being built on the gospel message, and that message is becoming firmer. You're appreciating the Word of God more and more. You're appreciating who Jesus is. It's interesting to me when he says that, when he says, though you know them are and established in them. He says right after that I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by a way of reminder. That means to refresh your minds, because we easily fall asleep. We easily start thinking the gospel is common and we need to move on. And he says, no, I want to wake you up. Why? Why would he say this? Well, I think it has to do back in Luke chapter 22, verses 31 through 32, because he experienced something. He thought he understood the basics. He thought he got it all right. He was always telling Jesus, look, I understand. I'm going to be there for you. I understand the basics of what this faith is. And in Luke chapter 22, verse 31 through 32, this is Jesus speaking to Peter, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith may not fail. And his faith did not fail, but man, it sure did. Sure, he sure does have some bad memories. of denying his Savior. When he thought he had the basics down. And what's interesting here for me is that when Jesus says, and when you have turned again, strengthen, this is verse 32, strengthen your brothers. That word established and strengthened kind of come from the same idea in the Greek. There's a connection there that Peter is doing exactly what Jesus told him. He's saying, I need to remind you guys, because trust me, I've been there. I've been through it. I'm weathered by it. We need to always remember the power of the gospel message. And I'm going to do my very best, whatever it takes, as long as I am living, because I'm going to be dying soon, to remind you of that power, of the power of Christ in your life. The gospel. He wasn't worried about his legacy. He wasn't worried about making a name for himself. What he was worried about is that we understood the truth. And we built our lives upon that truth. Moving forward in our lives in that truth. And in verse 14... this is just a side note for you guys to see. Know that I'm putting off my body, will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ had made to me. This is, on a side note, where you see that Peter is talking about that he has a body and he has a soul. Because you see in verse 15, he will be departing soon. He is going somewhere. Even though his body is here, his soul will be moving on. So just a side note, someone says, how do you know you have a soul? Well, right here you have Peter talking about that idea. That his body and his soul are one, and at some point it will be detached, and he'll be moving on, continuing living somewhere else, though his body is dead. But back to the text. For him, the idea is this. He constantly wants to remind us, he's going to make every effort as an older man to help us remember the basics of the gospel. So we can constantly have, it's like a shot in the arm of God's grace to remembering his love for us. Remembering that he is in control. Remembering our need for him. Remembering constantly, it's not about our self-esteem, it's about remembering how much we need him every moment of our lives. And never to treat the gospel message as common. I, as a pastor, that's what we do here every week, is to remind you of what was done for you. So you can go out and live your lives for Jesus. And you know, it's not unspiritual for you to do the same thing for yourself. Put scriptures in your home to remind you of God's word and how much he loves you. Have set yourself on your phone little reminders to go back and remember how much God loves you. Find someone to encourage you of how much God loves you. It's not unspiritual to have those reminders in your home and set those up because we easily forget. Which leads us then to our second point. Never forget the magnificence of Christ. Never forget the magnificence of Christ. So Peter first says, okay, remember the basics, the gospel message, and then remember who you're dealing with. Remember who he is, because he's going to say here in verse 16, he says, we, he's now changed to we, he says, we, the apostles, didn't come up with these teachings. We didn't follow cleverly devised myths, meaning that these random spiritual truths, we didn't come up with this religion. We are going about talking about Jesus Christ and his accomplishments. He is reminding us that, look, we have made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. What that means is his powerful coming back here to the world that he is going to judge the world, that when they're going and talking about this, they're not making this stuff up for their benefit. They're not trying to make God in their own image. They're saying Jesus is very real and he is divine and we saw it. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty, as it says in verse 16. That's just another way of saying eyewitnesses of his deity, his God nature. And then he moves on to talk about the transfiguration. And this is something that marked Peter. He says, look, these basic messages, we saw it. This gospel message, we saw it in action. We saw the transfiguration of Christ, him and James and John. They saw Christ change. They saw his splendor. They saw this dazzling white, as it says in Luke chapter 9, verse 29. They saw Jesus Christ change. They got to see into his deity that they were only seeing his humanity. And at this point, they saw him become something that was mind-blowing. And it confirmed everything that Jesus was talking about. It confirmed everything that Jesus was teaching. And these men saw that and they said, we're going to follow this guy. We're going to teach everything that he says. Because they saw the honor that it says in verse 17, the honor, the voice of God the Father. They heard it and they saw the glory. They saw him changing. And they said, this is it. We're not making this up. When they heard, this is my son who I'm well pleased. What he saw was the Lamb of God. What he saw was the sacrifice in full deity. What he saw, as it says in Luke chapter 12, verse 32, when Jesus says, fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He saw it when Christ was transformed. He saw the pleasure of God. He saw, as it says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 15, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. He saw that in action. That not only did he see the resurrected Christ, he got to see a divine Christ. And then he knew that this is the perfect sacrifice, that he did not have to fear. Reflecting back on that, he knows for a fact that when Christ says he is coming back, that this is real. This is not a myth. He saw God's love for the Son, and he got to see the Son's love for him. That when Christ comes back, as it says in 2 Peter, going back up to verse 11, for then this way will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When Christ comes back, he's going to be deciding who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. That this is real stuff and not something to be taken lightly. These aren't just spiritual truths, Peter is saying, to make you feel good. But you're dealing with a real Jesus who knows you and who knows your name, that when you feel alone, he's always there. When you're having an argument with someone, he is there. That when you're having relationship issues with somebody, he is there. And he's coming back and he's going to set things right. Peter is saying you don't need to fear anymore because we saw the glory of Christ. We got a snippet of it. That when he comes back in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, when he comes back on that day to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at among all who believed, he saw it. He saw the radiance of glory, as it says in Hebrews 1, chapter 1, verse 3. He saw the imprint of the nature of God in Christ. And know that that's real. Which moves us to our last point. So you don't forget the basics of the gospel message. You live them out every day. Never forget that you're dealing with a divine Christ who is coming back and who is ruling over everything. And these guys weren't making that up. They experienced it. But then never forget the Bible is God's word. That you're not dealing with a storybook. You're not dealing with a history book. You're not dealing with poetry. You are dealing with the word of God. In verse 19, he says, and we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed. What he's saying here is that when he saw that transformation, it confirmed everything that the Old Testament talked about. I am one that takes the interpretation, the understanding, that when he says the prophetic word, he's not just thinking of one scripture. He's saying all of the Old Testament, because the New Testament wasn't fully written at this time, all of the Old Testament was confirmed in that moment that they're dealing with the Messiah. See, in John chapter 5, verse 39, and this is why I take it, he says, you search the scriptures, this is Jesus, you search the scriptures, you think they give you eternal life, but the scriptures point to me. All of it. John 1, 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then that means in John 14, chapter 1, verse 14, the Word became flesh. Everything that was read about and done became flesh. Christ is the Word of God, and he dwelt among us. And if you want to know Christ, you go to his Word. He says, you'll do well to pay attention to it. Because, to put it another way, when you're dealing with the Word of God, you're dealing with God himself. Because Christ is the Word. If you want to learn about God, you want to know his ways, you want to understand how to live right before him, go to the Word of God. He's telling us that we can trust it. He's telling us that you go to it as if you're having a conversation with God. You just don't go to it for nice little sayings, you go to it to be face to face with God. If you're having issues, this is what Paul is getting at, or what Peter's getting at. If you're angry, there's a dark place in your life, bring the Word of God there. How am I supposed to act? It's going to light up what you're supposed to do. If you're having stress issues, bring the Word of God there to light that aspect of your life up. Wherever you go, you bring the Word of God to shine light on how you're supposed to be living. And then he says something that, at least for me, I'm going to be very honest, kind of was strange. He says, okay, I think everyone's on board. Okay, yeah, God's word lights up how you're supposed to live. But he says, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. What? Star in my hearts? Jesus Christ's resurrection, he's coming back. It's not a personal thing. He's not risen again in my heart because I think he's alive. He's actually alive. So what is this? What does it have to do with the Word of God? What is he getting at here with the prophetic word? Well, I and others believe that what the light, the morning star, is Christ. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 16, it says that Jesus is the bright and morning star. In Numbers chapter 24, verse 17, it says, a star will come out of Jacob, referring to Christ. And when you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, let the light shine out of darkness. He has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. My understanding is, he says, we follow Scripture and abide by it because this is something that's valid and is true until we get to see Jesus face to face, which means once you're dead. Why? Because this is all about Him, learning about Him. And then when I die, I get to see Him face to face. One person put it this way. One treasures a love letter while the beloved is absent, but once he or she is present, the letter is laid aside in exchange for personal contact. So the rising in our hearts, meaning that you have been transformed, you have your new body, you're there before Him. So you live according to the Scripture until you get to see Him face to face. For the rest of your life, you never stop looking at that Word of God and letting it be your guide until you're dead. Because then you'll have the Word of God, Christ, right there before your eyes. Knowing, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but spoke from God as they were carried along the Holy Spirit. What he's getting at here is understand that what he's pointing to is not the value of Scripture, but he's getting at the divine trustworthiness of Scripture. That this isn't, when the prophets received the revelation from God and wrote stuff down, it wasn't that they received it and then they gave their own personal opinion of what they think that is. What they received and what they wrote is the Word of God. So you can trust it fully. It's another view of inspiration of Scripture. The origin is from God, and what you have is the Word of God. Never forget that. So what does that look like in a practical sense? If you say that you are fully committed to Christ, you have to be fully committed to the Word. You can't say, I accept Christ, but I don't accept His Word. People say that. People say, that's not my Jesus. I don't care about your Jesus. I care about what does this Jesus talk about. Because this is what I'm being held to. This is what God's going to ask me. This is the guide of my life. It's not my opinion. What comes down to, what does Scripture say? The gospel that I know comes from here. Not from here in my heart because it sounds nice. And it's nice to know that there is a way that you don't have to go to hell. It comes from here because that's truth. And these are basics that we constantly need to remember, because remember, my friends, that there is a war out there. Though you may not see it, there is a spiritual war that's trying to take you away from trusting that. And Peter, as we'll see, it was happening during that time. And he was trying to remind them, don't give up on the foundations. Be built upon it. Remember the gospel. Remember that Christ is coming back, His majesty. And remember that you have the Word of God that is God's Word and not simply opinions. It's not a man-made religion. It is a God-made religion. And I'll leave you with this. I read this the other day and I was like, oh, that hurts. This is the quote. It's easier to be orthodox than it is to be loving. It's easier to know the basics than it is to live out those basics. To be loving, because the gospel message is about God. It's about His love for the Son, and we get to take part in that. And we're called to reflect that. That's a hard thing to do. It's a lot easier to have all the right answers than it is to live out those answers. And to live them out, you have to remind yourself constantly of those basics. Remind yourself of what Christ accomplished. And remind yourself that this is what we're called to live out consistently. So church, never give up, never give in. Fall upon Jesus. Have Him be your crutch. It's okay. And just remind yourself every day what was accomplished for you. Because that'll be the best way and the greatest way of deciphering how to live in this life. Let us go to God in prayer as the deacons and their wives come forward to pray with you. If you want to join as a member, come forward. We just want to pray. Let's go. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for what you have accomplished. Thank you for giving us this joy. Help us to remember the basics of the faith and to always take them with us, to never move on, to never move beyond, but just to grow in a deeper appreciation of you and what you've done as we read your word until we get to see you face to face. Then we'll have all the answers because you'll give them to us. Thank you, Lord, for the cross. Thank you for our dependence upon you. Help us to remember these things. In Jesus' name, amen.